Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to talk today about the Ascension of Jesus. This might be my favorite feast day celebration of the year. Just the thought of Jesus entering into glory, returning back to the Father in human flesh. You know, there's just so much there. It just makes my heart sing. But what the church gives us today is three readings at Mass. The first one is a long reading from the Acts of the Apostles, first chapter, which is, you know, the story of Jesus' ascension. He's with the apostles. What's the last thing he communicated to them before he ascended to the right hand of the Father? And then the second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23, which St. Paul has just this glorious, magnificent vision of who Jesus is. And he's praying that you and me, that we could really come to experience and see who Jesus is. And to see Jesus, to grasp in faith with the eyes of faith and have an experiential knowledge of his majesty and glory, friends, is a total life changer. It is a game changer in terms of how we're able to live in the world. And then the gospel, very short gospel, is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 16. It's all tied together. The ascension of Jesus, the promise of what he's going to do, and then he can do what he said he was going to do because of his majesty, because of who he is, and then why, and then what we must do, what he called us to do. So let me just see how much of this we can go through today. But first, I just want to glorify God. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus, his beauty, his majesty, his glory. And he's ascended to your right hand, and all power and authority belong to him. And we gladly confess it today. We rejoice in it. And by the miracle of your plan and purpose, Father, your economy, your beloved Son would take on human flesh and would not only die for us, but would be raised to glory. Human flesh that had fallen from glory, had no future, had no hope, now has been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ to your holy right hand, Father. We thank you for him. We recognize him. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's the King of everything, and he's the Lord of everything, and no human being compares to him. Thank you, Father. We love him. We ask you to increase our love and increase our knowledge of your beloved and holy Son. Okay, Acts chapter 1. So Jesus is there. He's talking to the apostles. I'll just jump into some of these passages. It says, while meeting with them, with the apostles, he enjoined on them not to depart from Jerusalem. He told them to wait, stay in Jerusalem, to wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus talked about the promise, the promise. What's the promise of the Father? The promise through the prophets, right on through the Gospels to today. What's the promise? The promise is the Holy Spirit, about which you have heard me speak, Jesus said. For John baptized with water, a baptism of repentance, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is the whole, again, the culmination of Jesus' entire mission is to make this possible. And Jesus is distinct from John. John the Apostle baptized with a baptism of repentance and water. But Jesus is the one. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And this is the heart of Christianity. When you're baptized into Christ, when you're born again by water and the Spirit, you become a new creation. And you inherit what belongs to the Son. You become a child of God. It says, when they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They thought that he was, because he was risen and he's there, he thought he was going to march into Jerusalem and take charge. They didn't quite see it that way because they thought that's what the Messiah would do. He's coming back all right, but he needed to go home to the Father first and begin and establish the kingdom on earth and the power of the Spirit in his church. Jesus answered them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But pay attention to this, Jesus is saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So they're saying, are you going to come in, Lord? Are you going to come in and take charge? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons of the Father's plan, but this is what you need to know. You're going to receive power. And that word power, the Greek word dunamis, means dynamite. You're going to receive tremendous power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, will be given to you. And it will be for this purpose. So you will witness to me. You will testify to me. Right? So Jesus says, wait and you'll receive. And we all know what happens on the day of Pentecost when the apostles wait. Now let's move to the second reading, Ephesians chapter 1. So Paul, who has encountered Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he knows him, you know, on the road to Damascus, he had a revelation of the glory and majesty of Jesus. By God's grace, Jesus appeared to him. And here's what Paul now, in that first chapter, is praying for us. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in the knowledge of him. Paul knew what he knew about Jesus, that he was Lord, and the knowledge that he had, the saving knowledge of Jesus, the experiential knowledge of his glory and majesty, ordered Paul's life to its fundamental goal and freed him, strengthened him, and empowered him. So he's praying, oh Lord, give them a spirit of wisdom to know the truth about Jesus and revelation. That's a good thing for us to pray for today on this Feast of the Ascension. Holy Spirit, reveal to us the majesty and the power and the glory of Jesus. Help us to see him, not the one we make up, not the one the world wants, not the declawed lion of the tribe of Judah, but the Lord of all, the one that John the Apostle saw on Patmos in the book of Revelation. And he saw the Lord, had a revelation, and he fell to the ground as though dead. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Be not afraid. Paul goes on, may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of his glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, the riches of his glory, the saints in heaven who are with him now, they're clothed in glory. And Paul is asking us, he's praying for us, that we would have the confident expectation that what we see in Jesus, the glorified, ascended Lord, that we would see as our destiny, and we would have confidence that that's where our life is headed. And we would see the glory and the riches in the saints in heaven who are living with Jesus, who are praying for us. And we would see that this is our family, and it's the connection with them has already begun in this earth and in this time. And Paul goes on, he says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe? Here's an interesting question, you know, how healthy is the church? A healthy church lives with this vision and is aware of the surpassing greatness of his power that's in us. And we're not overwhelmed by the power of the world, you know, by the big mega companies, by the big powerful nations, by the big powerful people, whatever's there in the world. Look, they're there, they're present in the world, but they're going to pass away. Only God is good. Only God is great. Only God is mighty. Only God ought to be feared with awesome, awesome fear, the holiness of God. May we know that surpassing power that's in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. In accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ. God the Father's might was worked in Christ. How? Paul says, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens. Far above all principalities, all authorities, all powers, all dominions, all the authorities. You know, friends, there's so much in this world that it's so easy to be intimidated by. I mean, what happens in the Bible when just one angel shows up? Everybody trembles with fear, being tempted to worship the angel as God because he's so magnificent, he's so powerful. But he's a creature, he's not God. He's just a glimpse of the glory that's in Jesus, just a glimpse of the majesty and total authority and power that's in Jesus. And you can bet that demons tremble, Satan trembles. This is not a battle between two equals. It has been done. The king has destroyed the enemy's ultimate authority in his kingdom. He's disarmed the principalities and powers. The blood of Jesus Christ has broken the back of Satan. And the only way he can have power over us is if we let him deceive us and our eyes fall from the Lord and we're worried about this world only and we get seduced into believing the devil's demonic worldview. Paul's saying, lift up your eyes to the heavens and see your Lord. See his power and his majesty. And then Paul goes on to say, his name is above every name that's been named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, in all eternity. And he put all things beneath Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. All things under his feet. Jesus is right now, friends, you ask the question, what is our king doing? He's interceding for us, and he's subduing all the enemies of God. It's right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The last one to be subdued will be death. But he's going to bring everything into submission. Those who freely say yes, and everyone who resists him will bow the knee. And when the day comes when Jesus returns, when he comes again in his glory, all those who resisted him will fall down. They'll beat their chest. And they'll say, oh, what have I done? What have I done to oppose the king? And he'll destroy the devil and his kingdom forever. Friends, we have nothing to worry about. And those who are waiting in him in the Holy Spirit will rejoice when he comes again. Yes, we'll fall on our knees too, but we'll sing, we'll praise our Lord. And the longing of our hearts will be here with us. Matthew 28, the gospel that we're given today. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached them and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. There's your marching orders, friend. That's mine. That's yours. That's it. The king said, I've given you my spirit. I'm at the right hand of the Father. I'm establishing my kingdom. I'm bringing all things under my submission so I can give it all back to the Father. I will destroy all the enemies of my Father. There will be no more opposition. Now go forth and win the world. I will be with you. My spirit will be with you. Witness to me. Testify that men and women, their sins can be forgiven and that they can be saved and be born again. They can enter into the kingdom of God. Friends, this is the day. This is the day of celebrating the ascension of Jesus. And the Catechism, paragraph 668, says this, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. What's he after? To be Lord of all. Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity in God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and on earth. That's the teaching of the Catechism of the Church. In his humanity now, humanity is robed in glory. That's why you have a future. No one else can give us that future. Everybody's a pretender who thinks they can. Only Jesus can. And Lord, we cry out today that you would be revealed in this hour, that your glory and your majesty would be revealed through your weak and broken church, which is us. Lord, use us. We believe in you. We accept it. And we stand for your glory. God bless you, brothers and sisters.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.